Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler, in association with Square. Square helps you to look after your business needs, from menu management and online ordering to payments. Visit square.com for more. Today we're talking to one of Ireland's best-known sports figures who has become one of the country's most successful investors in startups. Jamie Heaslip, welcome to the podcast.
Second time.
You have been very, very busy. You're now working at Stripe.
I am, yeah. A lot has changed since we last spoke, which was, I'm going to think, was it Jan 2020?
2020.
Just before lovely COVID visited us all. Since that time, went off, I did an MBA, and I joined Stripe. Yeah, so a lot has changed. It's great, though. It's really exciting. I do a lot of things. I'm what we call, I'm the Irish growth lead. So the way I look at that is I've kind of three roles, essentially. Probably the most important for me personally is focusing on the startup ecosystem and how, you know, Stripe can help the ecosystem and Irish companies thrive in general. You know, Stripe started out in that world. Obviously, you know, they've grown into enterprise, helping enterprise businesses as well as startups. But startups are always important to us and our founders and to me personally as well, because I want Irish companies to thrive. So it's great.
You go out and talk to them, you meet them.
I go out, I make sure, like, there's a variety of different stakeholders in the ecosystem. So it's making sure I've got relationships with them, making sure we're able to use the various types of resources that we have. We've some amazing minds in Stripe here, and how we can maybe, you know, help people get access to them and take learnings from our 10 years and give that back as well. As well as, I suppose, you know, at times educate people on the kind of proliferation of Stripe's products.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of one piece.
Mm-hmm.
The middle piece is we have an Irish specific team, and it's kind of working with that team in terms of our kind of general go-to-market strategy across startups all the way through to enterprise. And then lastly, it's kind of what you just touched on, is actually just getting out there and meeting people, and not so much in the startup world, but just helping people have a point of contact in Stripe. I think it's really important to the company that we have a presence here in Ireland. We have some amazing Irish leaders in the company, like Eileen O'Mara, Mark Barry, Dave Kilbride, as well as our two Irish founders. It's funny, the debate I get in a lot about the two lads is, are they from Tip or Limerick? That seems to be the most important talking topic with
them.
They
themselves won't be definitive on that.
Well, let's just see on Jersey Day what jersey they're wearing when they come to the office.
Now, you would have quite a lot of cred among startups, because it's not just that you've come in the last couple of years to this. You've been an investor for quite a few years, quite a successful investor as far as I can see. Pointy was a big one, Kitman Labs, Urban Vault, Mana, more recently. Are you good at picking winners?
I don't know. I'd like to think I pick winners, Adrian, but I don't think it's as easy as that. I suppose I have my, everyone has their different kind of investment philosophy. Yeah. I go super early. I personally tend to kind of, like, if you look at what I'm, my background, it's high performance teams, it's understanding culture, it's understanding people's mindset, being driven, how they can do that, not just over like one season, but multiple seasons. And in a startup, it has to be multiple seasons. I think everyone sometimes has, you mentioned Mark Cummins. I don't think Mark's probably the exception to the rule in 5 years, you know, growing and having that company acquired versus you mentioned Kitman Labs. Kitman Labs, which the office only around the corner here, is I think they're going since about 2012, you know, so it's now nearly 11 years since that company's going. So it's, you know, what it's understanding the team, understanding the leaders, their mindset. I tend to only pick teams. I don't find I tend not to invest in single founder companies, and also areas that interest me.
And is it, from your perspective, is that a question of getting to know them, of spending time with them? Is it by reputation?
It's a little bit of everything. Ireland's pretty small, so you can do your, you know, your good due diligence of these guys by asking around. You know, it's finding, okay, who's the expert in that area, talking to them, and what is this idea like? Where is it going? Where is that industry going? What other kind of potentially disruptive technologies are coming into the fray, or how are people using technologies in new and different ways? It's just staying on top of that. I mean, Ireland is, it's really exciting in terms of the innovation coming out of Ireland. Like, what was it, 2 weeks ago, I was in BT Young Scientist, and just seeing the ideas coming out of there was phenomenal, to be honest, and really exciting. And there's the iWish program is coming up in end of February, that, you know, seeing those kind of ideas coming out. We had people like Patch, seeing what they're doing. And in general, like the NDRC, Dogpatch, all the regional hubs, Enterprise Ireland, it's really exciting to see that ecosystem, what it's facilitating, the ideas that are just bubbling up. And they seem to be getting better and better and better. And I feel stupider and stupider and stupider being around these kind of amazing ideas.
You clearly have a massive amount of enthusiasm for this, and you seem to be a good networker as well. You turn up to a lot of these events. You know, I see or hear of you, you know, around Dogpatch Labs doing events with Scale Ireland. Remind me how you got into tech, or what was it about the sector that attracted you in the first place?
It probably goes back as far back as kind of 2010-11. I've always liked people questioning why we do things a certain way, and Michael Cech is probably the one to blame, if I'm honest. He asked that question a lot when he came to Leinster, and he brought a, there was a company called I think they were called Catapult at the time, or they were in the AFL. They had GPS trackers on all the players. They were tracking their training so that training was mimicking the games, and that wasn't being done in rugby in Northern Hemisphere. He brought that up, and it kind of questioned, well, use data to go, well, why are we doing like a 3K as a fitness test when, you know, you never run probably more than at any one time 80 meters before you have to stop or change direction in rugby? And it's using that data to inform your decision making, inform the insights, and question why. Got me really excited. I did medical engineering in university, and that just kind of, I kind of could relate to it. And that started me down the whole rabbit hole of going, okay, well, what else, you know, am I interested in that's asking questions why? And that's what first put me down there. And then like understanding the ecosystem and understanding the facilitators that are enabling, and kind of that infrastructure layer that's enabling these companies to build upon or curate their ideas. Once you kind of become part of that ecosystem and understand it and try and help it, that becomes really energizing. And like, honestly, this is going to sound very cheesy, but I kind of go, okay, I was really lucky in sport where Ireland is actually one of the very few countries, could be possibly the only one, that represents, you know, the whole island as such. And I'm kind of trying to do that again in terms of like stick that jersey on and get people to stick that jersey on and try and help all these Irish companies now at all different ages and stages, you know, do well and kind of I used to say in rugby, leave the jersey in a better place. So hopefully...
Does it almost become competitive if you're trying to get under the hood of how things work and you're hearing of something that is promising and you've come across an individual or a team that looks interesting and you've an opportunity maybe to get in there and you're hearing of other things. Is there a competitive element to that? Do you think to yourself that, you know, this is a long-term game that I want to get into?
In what way?
Well, if you compare it to sport, for example, which you have been doing now for the last few minutes, when I talk to very successful founders, for example, money is a factor, but usually it's not even one of the top three factors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm competitive by nature, but I want Ireland to win. That hasn't changed.
And is that reflected in the companies that you back or the companies you're interested in?
Any companies that I have invested in personally, they tend to be companies that are like zero or one, I kind of call them. Like, you know, they're bets as such. And I go super early into them. I don't come in later on. And I'm kind of backing the idea and what they're trying to do as such. And look, if they win, great. If they don't, so be it. I'm fully aware of the risks around that. But it's that idea of trying to help. Like, if I put my Stripe hat on, except for me, it's trying to help Ireland win, if I'm really honest, and help us prosper. Because we do an amazing job when you think about it you and I could both sit here and list the companies in Ireland that are global companies that a lot of people wouldn't realize, and just understand how you facilitate them at an enterprise level, but also, okay, how do we find the next, you know, teamwork and help them grow, or the next Intercom, you know, or the next Smiths or whoever. You know, that's really exciting for me.
But you want, you know,
to
be there.
I'm trying to say, is it the same as running out in front of a crowd in Aviva Stadium playing in England? Maybe not quite. But it definitely gets me excited.
What about the downturn? Do you think I had Eamon Leonard, who is a well-known startup advisor and founder himself, successful founder, in here last week. And he was saying that in some ways a downturn can be good for startups because it allows people to consider starting a company, whereas they might have just stayed with a bigger company. Also the conditions, other conditions are right, it financially, etc. What's your view on that? Do you have any take on that?
I think it's right now is affecting companies in different, it's not like evenly distributed in terms of how companies are affected. Depends on like what stage you're at, I suppose. So I'd agree with Amo, like in one stage it could be really good for some people and others maybe not so quite, but I think good companies will still be good companies and people might not get the valuations that they got previously, but I think if you're a good company, you're still a good company, and you got to look at, okay, there's some macro trends that are happening, but how are we planning now for the next 5-10 years? Okay, what are we doing from, how are we increasing revenue, or how are we being more operationally efficient, or, what's a priority? What costs can we cut? All good questions that you probably should be asking yourself pretty consistently.
Does that affect at all the way that you think about investing now or in the past, whether or not it'll be a larger round or it'll be more or less money required? Are they important factors to you?
For me?
For you, yeah.
Well, I go super early and I don't follow. So I kind of place the chips on the table and I back the team, and I'm fully aware of which way it can go. I think, look, My learnings is that I write it off until otherwise. Honestly, is my philosophy. I think it's super exciting for early companies right now and ideas that are bubbling up. I don't know if you saw the latest cohort coming into the NDRC Accelerator, but some really exciting ideas there. And even just look at the last few cohorts, you know, what Ian Brown and Paddy Walsh and that whole team have done with that program is phenomenal. and they just seem to be getting better and better. And so understanding how, knowing that that ecosystem for early companies is getting better, is quite exciting in terms of the ideas that are going to come. And then on the other side of that, in terms of, let's say, the financing, it's great to see companies like, Enterprise Ireland, in terms of their commitment to backing companies, Elkstone, Delta, you mentioned Eamon, Broadstone, there's VCs there who are willing to invest in early stage companies. And I suppose then that's where the uneven distribution comes. It could be a different type of conversation depending on what stage you're at.
But what about you? You're now working with Stripe.
Yeah.
You spent a year with Google before. You're kind of easing your way into big tech yourself.
It was, they're very different companies. I really enjoyed my time in Google. I'd actually done two internships there when I played. John Herlihy, way back, was the first one who brought me in, and then Ronan Harris for the second one. I really loved it there, but it's a big, big company, and it's kind of like the Goldilocks thing for me. It was like they were way too big. Then I went to a super early startup, and it was like,
this was Flender, was it?
Yeah, and it was too unstructured for me, particularly at the stage that I was in, kind of that transition, let's call it. And like Stripe is just right. Stripe is what, 10 years old now. And it's really exciting to be there, and as well the fact that you've got Irish founders and they're quite connected and you're kind of part of the Irish team. It's very exciting for me, an interesting journey, and I really love it because it's the only way you grow is being challenged, and it's definitely challenging being around amazingly smart people, not just in the company, but in the broader ecosystem that we kind of talk
about. I mean, of all of the bets that you could make in tech and big tech now, Stripe does seem to me to be one of the smarter ones, in the sense that what it does, payments ecosystem and infrastructure, that is only going one way. And really the question is which companies succeed and come out on top. But to have a long-term interest in the big tech world, as Ireland sort of does now with Stripe couldn't really be a better one from a strategic point of view.
Oh, well, I don't think I put as much thought as you did into it.
I've been writing about this for a decade.
Look, it's really inspiring. Like, if I use a sporting analogy, right? You always want to be challenging yourself and growing. And going into these, and in a really weird way, you want to be able to foster that. Like, take the Irish system, or let's take Leinster, right? They have an academy system that brings through all this young talent and fosters it up, right? But they're also always going to other teams to look at what they're doing, or bringing outside people in, and for me, that's quite interesting. Okay, you spent a bit of time at Google. What did you learn there? How does that grow you? You went to a startup. How does that work? And then in Stripe, I'm learning loads every day. So personally, it's great. So when I think of my career, I'm kind of going like, that's my ROI. It's learning, it's growing, because you have to play, a super long game for yourself in terms of how you grow. I don't know where I'm going to be in, 5-10 years time, but I know I'm really happy where I am now. And then being in the company, seeing how they are, they are incredibly ambitious in terms of what they want to do, where they want to go, and they plan for that, that long term vision, which is really, really for me, coming from that high performance environment in sport, now in Ireland and now in tech, that's probably why I get a lot of energy from it.
Also, and this is my own observation, in 20 years writing about tech, I don't think I've ever come across founders who almost nobody has a bad thing to say about in the industry. You're always going to find bitching and moaning going on about, Zuck or Bezos, even Larry and Sergey in Google, Tim even has his critics. I can't find anyone who'll say a bad thing about Patrick and John. Anyway, that's a different thing. I asked you this once before, but it came up again. Bernard Brogan wrote an interesting blog post the other week, and he was talking about this idea of, as you know, Bernard is involved himself in a couple of companies.
PepHQ.
That's right. Yeah. Interesting. And he's developing a good career now. Yeah. But Bernard made the point that in the early years, his heart would sink because he'd go to a meeting and it turned out that really they were as much or more interested in talking to him about sport as they were, say, the business. Does that ever happen to you still?
Look, I think it's part, like, Ireland is sports mad. Mm. And obviously I still am involved in, let's call it the entertainment of the sport at times. And I quite like that. You know, that will always be a part of me. I gave from the age of 8 till I was 34 pretty much everything into it. Bernard probably started when he was, by the time, not even, I was going to say before he could even walk, he probably had a ball in his hand, knowing his father and his brothers. So it's part and parcel of you. So, I mean, yeah.
Is that something you have to expect then?
Yeah, but you don't mind like talking sport. Like, to be honest, if you weren't in it, you probably would talk about what sport and event happened at the weekend anyway. But I think coming back to what I was saying about earlier about how to...
No, but I think the point that Bernard was trying to make was that he was being asked to meetings that he thought were about potentially business or tech.
Yeah.
That actually were really just about a chance for somebody to meet him and talk about.
Oh, yeah. So I think my point is I know it kind of went a roundabout way of saying it, but like that can be expected, right? And particularly earlier on in your career as you transition. But the more you challenge yourself, the more you grow every day, then the more that you can actually bring to the table and the conversation sways. It would have been a big reason why I did the MBA over the last 2 years, which was amazing, but a hell of a slog. Because now, you know, it kind of gives you more of a lot more strategic thinking in general, really good overview of businesses. And now you can bring more to that conversation when you are having that conversation with a big enterprise client or a startup or like an SME, you know, and you can understand, okay, where are they? Okay, what are the things that are important to them? What are they thinking about across the multiple parts of a business? You know, how are they, how are they looking at their business model? How are they looking at increasing their revenue? What's their go-to-market strategy? Is it product iteration? Is it a different market differentiation or penetration or whatever? Then you can up-level the expectation around you. But so it's very hard to get that badge off you always.
Yeah. So you're coming into a situation like that with the confidence that you can pivot it. You can switch it to your advantage.
Yeah, I think you have to be able to deliver on that front as well. I don't think we can ever get away with it. Like, it always happens. Like, I'm sure people take conversation because they're curious to go, what is this going to be about? And I'm sure Bernard experienced that. But that's where you bring through, Bernard would be all about vulnerability, I suppose, you know, because Monday morning review, you have to be vulnerable in the sporting world. It's on video. You can't get away from it, really. So you get very comfortable going, okay, I don't know that answer, but I'll get the guy that does. And you bring them in. Then you learn off them as well in that conversation. So that's probably where I've gotten the most growth, learning off other, what we call stripes, over the last 2 years. And then even learning, talking to some of these amazing startups coming through, like the Yonder guys. I know you know them. Yeah. Or Inclusio announced recently their fund.
Yonder's becoming big in Ireland at gigs. I don't know if you've been at any concerts recently where they tell you to put your phone
into that's the bag. Yeah. No, I'm talking about Yonder with Luke.
Oh, different Yonder.
Yeah,
go totally Yonder. Different Yonder.
Yeah. I know the bag one as well. Yeah. No, Yonder, they're in kind of benefits software company. But seeing those kind of new company and learning off those guys, you know, they're a lot younger than me. I know I look very young, but just learning off them is amazing. And then I mentioned already, like 2 weeks ago at the BT Young Scientist, I met someone from my school, Newbridge College, Tara, and she did this cool thing around taking, you know, basically machine learning and AI to use. She's an artist, so she did all her drawings, and that became the data set that it would learn off. And then every drawing it asked her, she kind of used a ChatGPT kind of function, would be done in her kind of style. Mm. And I was just like, how do, like, just learning off her. And
but when you mentioned MBA, I was too polite to say, oh, but your ChatGPT can do your MBA career.
Yeah, well, that's another, that's Pandora's box that we're opening up there.
Jamie Heaslip, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us today. And that is all we have time for today, folks. So thanks to Tabitha Monaghan, who produced, to Gav Hennessy on sound, and to Conan Doherty on video. For me, Adrian Weckler, we'll talk to you the same time next week. Bye-bye.
No, nope, seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject to location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.